Well, good morning. Good morning, God's people.
Good morning.
It's so good to be back in the house of the Lord once again. I missed each and every one of you. You know, over the past few months, you know, I've been looking at the things that are happening around the world, and especially the things here in the United States. And through it all, I see so much hatred. I see that we look at anyone that is different than us as unworthy to live. I see people willing to freely walk into schools and churches and kill people just because. I see husbands killing wives and wives killing husbands. I see mothers killing their babies. You know, that's just not right. Everybody is on edge. Everybody's in a hurry. The thing is that we live in a right now world. We want it right now. You know, whatever happened to patience and understanding? Whatever happened to grace and mercy? Jesus tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 27, he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbors as yourself." But we seem to have forgotten what love is. Many of us think that this means it's all about us. It's about what we want. Forget everybody else's needs. It's about me. This is a perfect example why in Proverbs 3 and 5 it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding." Although many of us know of God, we really don't know Him. If that makes any sense to you, let me repeat it again. We know of God, but the problem is we really don't know God. Can I just make this personal for a moment? You see, my understanding of love through my younger years had always been, it's about me. If I'm happy, it's a good thing. If things were the way I wanted them to be, it was great. But if things weren't the way that I wanted them to be, I wasn't a very happy camper. And when I wasn't a happy camper, those around me weren't happy campers. I always wanted more. And when I got it, I still wanted more. I was never satisfied. Love. What is it? Our title for today is, "What is love really?" Our focal verse is taken from Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I'm just going to read them for you right now. It says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Go again, love a woman who has loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel who took other gods and loved the raisin cakes of the pagans. So I brought her to for myself for 15 shekels of silver and one half homers of barley.'" And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be towards you. Praise God. You see, today, if it's okay with you, I want to talk to you about a love story. Y'all quiet now. The question is, and it's a question to you, what is love? 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what love is not. Love is not envious. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Oh, I'm just getting started. You see, the Bible is filled with so many love stories, and today I want to tell you about a real love story that has been overlooked by so many. It's a love story that is both spiritual and physical. It all began 700 or 800 years before Christ. A man by the name of Hosea got a call from God to be a prophet of the Almighty to the children of Israel during some very unstable times. You see, the thing is, in a 20-year period, Israel has gone through six kings and suffered many great losses due to civil war. A dramatic example of this is seen in the lives of the six kings that followed Jeroboam II. During the time of Hosea's ministry, four were violently overthrown, and one died as a conquered exile in Assyria. I would say with great certainty that the job of a prophet was not a job people were eager to apply for. You know, like they're eager to apply at Facebook, eager to apply at Google, eager to apply anywhere but being a prophet. Not a job people wanted. Now, to get the full picture, I have to take you on a little journey back to chapter 1. Y'all got your walking shoes on? We're not going too far. Let's go back to chapter 1 and verse 1. We see that Hosea is a man called to be by God for a special mission and employment. He was to be a messenger to the Israelites. In verse 2 of the chapter, we find that God has instructed Hosea we have to assume that Hosea was a bachelor of the sorts. Maybe he wanted to get married, but just couldn't find the right woman to be his wife. But God had a plan. And to most of us, we would find God's instructions very hard to follow. You see, as we walk through the text, God tells Hosea to take yourself a wife. Yeah, that's not so bad, is it? But the second part, he says, as he continues, he says, of a harlot. Now put yourself in Hosea's shoes for a moment. A harlot? For real? God, you got to be joking. Now look, if it was any other man, there would be a conversation going on with God that would go something like this. Really, God? A prostitute? A woman of the night? You want me to go and find her, then marry her? What you talking about? God? You know my mama. She ain't gonna go for that. Never in a million years would my mama go for me bringing her into her home. I'm just saying. Y'all know. Y'all mama's in here. Your son's walked in here with, yeah, okay. But see, Hosea followed God's command and went out and found a woman named Gomer. A woman of that profession, and eventually he did fall in love with her and they married. Now, y'all know how people talk. About this preacher and his wife. That's okay. I'll talk to myself today. You see, Gomer was the one that Hosea had, was in love with, and nothing else mattered. You see, after all, love conquers everything, right? Well, I got some reaction out of y'all. Okay. Love conquers all. The question is, why would God put him through this? Good question. The answer is because the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. Through his command to Hosea, God brought to life in a constant picture through the Old Testament. You see, Israel, the chosen children, were prostituting themselves to other gods. You see, in this picture, the Lord is the husband of Israel, his bride. And Israel's passionate, their chronic attraction for idols was like the lust of an adulterer. His people were as unfaithful as a prostitute was to her husband. In this vivid picture, we see how our idolatry and rejection of God feels to the Lord. When we put anything in front of the Lord, it hurts him. It's like unfaithfulness. It hurts the victim of an adulterous relationship. It wasn't that Hosea had found a fallen woman and through love and kindness restored her to virtue. That wasn't it. He married a prostitute, no doubt hoping she would give up her sin and be devoted only to him. But I don't want to tell y'all, she continued her work. You ain't got to believe me. Just go read. Mm-hmm. Are you still walking with me?
Yes.
Now in verses 3 through 9, we find that into this union were conceived three children. Now y'all know in the courts here in the United States, that's $900, $1,800, that's about $2,500 a month in child support. Yeah, you better hold on to her. In verse 3 and 4, we see that the firstborn to Hosea and Gomer was a son. And God, listen to, God said to name him Jezreel. And the name spoke of two things. It spoke that Jezreel means scattered, and Israel would soon be scattered in exile by a conquering Assyrian army. Scattered. No more together. They would be divided. God's house would be divided. In verses 6 and 7, we see the second child born to this couple was a daughter, and God said to name her Lo-Ruhamah, which means no mercy. Why didn't y'all tell me I was, like, forgetting to click? You see, no mercy. Every call to this child with the unfortunate name would be a reminder that everyone else was coming of judgment and exile. Can you imagine naming your child No Mercy? The army of Syria that destroyed Israel also attacked Judah, but they did not conquer them. Instead, God miraculously fought on behalf of Judah against the Assyrian, and the angel of the Lord killed 185,000 soldiers in the camp of the Assyrians in one night. Don't believe me? Go read 2 Kings 19 and 35. In verse 8 and 9, we see that the third child was born, and God said to name him Lomini, which means not my people. Every call to this unfortunately named child reminded the people of Israel that the people of Israel had pushed away the Lord God and should no longer be considered his people. Since Gomer did not give up her career, there may have been a cruel irony to the name. Perhaps this son really was not the son of Hosea, but of another man. Perhaps the appearance of the child made this evidence. The message God had to deliver to Israel through Hosea was hard enough, but God made him live it. He had to live what he was preaching. Once again, we see that God is speaking, and here he tells him, oh, I jumped, didn't I? Let me go back. Yep, go back. Go ahead. There we go. So let's jump back to chapter 3 and verse 1 for those that are following along. Once again, we see God is speaking to Hosea, and he tells him to go again, love a woman who has loved by a lover and is committing adultery. God's direction is to go back to his wife, even though she is committing adultery. The problem is, it wasn't in the past. It's in the present. Now, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Are you crazy? My mate is committing adultery, and I'm supposed to go back and... But you see, when you follow what God is telling you to do, you've got no choice. But the other part of that is, God's commandment was to go back, and he really did love her. Love conquers all. This shows us that though Deuteronomy 24 and 1 and Matthew 19, 7 and 8 permit divorce when adultery breaks the marriage union, it is by no means command divorce. If God commanded divorce, in the case of adultery, he would go against his own commandment here. God never commands divorce, but he gives us that option. This also shows us an important principle about love. Hosea is directed to love. Even when it must have been hard to love, he was directed to do so. We are filled with many romantic illusions about love, and one of those illusions is that love has little to do with our will. We are just captured by love and follow whatever course it leads. But in principle, the scripture shows us another way, that love is largely a matter of will, and when we direct ourselves to love someone God tells us we must love, it can and will happen. Why did God command Hosea to go back to his still unfaithful wife? Not only for the sake of his marriage, but for the sake of his wife. You see, Gomer needed to be rescued also. But it's also so that they would become a living lesson of the Lord's relationship with his people. They were still steeped in spiritual adultery, yet the Lord still loved them. God never gave up on them. He still loved them. When we think of the greatness of God's love and compassion towards us, it would make us much more loving, compassionate, and forgiving towards others. In Hosea chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, we find that Hosea demonstrates his love to Gomer and restores her through purchase. It says, "So I brought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley. And I said to her, 'You shall stay with me many days, and you shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too I will be towards you.'" If you go back and do the research, all the money that he had was 15 shekels of silver. And he had 1.5 homers of barley. And he gave that to purchase his wife back. Now, the thing is that he really didn't need to buy his own wife back or to hire her as a prostitute. She was his wife. But of the display of love and commitment, he goes the extra mile beyond what is expected or even reasonable. In providing this way for his own wife, he also showed her. He said, "I can give you what the others can. You don't need them. Let me show you how I can provide for your needs." Now, some theologians believe that the phrase "brought her for myself" to mean that Gomer was sold as a slave and Hosea brought her out of slavery. Well, this is possible, but not necessarily true. It seems more natural to regard the payment as buying her out of prostitution. The point of paying for Gomer wasn't just to get her to give up her trade as a prostitute. It was to bring her into a relationship with him, her husband. A relationship. Living together was the goal. So in short, the payment was about the relationship, nothing else. Just as Jesus was and is the payment for our renewed relationship with the Father. Remember my opening question? What is love really? I'm going to answer that for you. If we turn back to 1 Corinthians 13, we will find the answer to my question. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. The best way to understand each of these is to see them in the life of Jesus. We could replace the word love with the name Jesus, and the description would make perfect sense. We can easily say Jesus suffers long and is kind because he does. I want to close with this scripture as we prepare for communion. From John 15, 11 through 13. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." You see, Jesus did just that. He loves us.